Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Call the WINY Talk Show now and offer your opinion and ideas at 928-1350. Call now and be heard.
Welcome back to the WINY Talk Show. It is 9:15, and joining us on the line this morning is Governor of the State of Connecticut, Ned Lamont. Governor, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
We appreciate the call. We appreciate the check-in here to the Quiet Corner, and we want to get right into the budget debate with you. I think the number one question that our locally elected officials here in northeastern Connecticut have is something that you said during your budget address. We're not going to wait until the last minute to get a budget to our local municipalities. Where do things stand with that?
That's so key. I told the legislature that everything I heard from mayors and first electmen, big cities, small towns, is, look, I know we're in a lean time. I know I can't count on a lot of new money, but just get me a budget on time so I can plan accordingly. And we have a hard time doing that in the legislature. So as I said, the budget address, look, here's my best take on an honestly balanced budget that invests in our future, invest in education without raising tax rates. And if you don't like it, don't wait till June to dislike it. Let's talk about it now so we get this budget done in June and people can plan. So I think we're going to get there, but it takes two to tango.
You asked for legislators to come right to you, not go to the microphones, but come right to you with their concerns, their reservations, and their suggestions. Are you hearing from legislators as you requested? I'm sure you are.
Well, not so much.
No.
Most went right to the microphone, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go right to them. I'm going to knock on their door, give them a call. I'm going to say, I've heard some of the comments. I've heard some of the concerns. Can I come and see you if you don't want to come to my office? I got a nice office, plenty of room, free coffee. But I'm happy to sit down. But I think now is the time for us to, talk about the issues in this budget so we get going.
What are the concerns that you've heard so far? Is it all about tolls? Is it about pensions? Well, or where do the other issues fall?
I think people know that it's a budget that addresses our long-term structural deficit and addresses it in a real way, where we fix the cost of our pension payments over a period of time so it's not an escalating piece of our budget. That we really deal with healthcare costs for state employees in a way that saves the state a lot of money and still keeps faith with the folks who do the work of this state. I think people understand that. You're right. There's some concern about how we pay to rebuild our roads and bridges. And Dave, I got to tell you, I spent a lot of time talking to businesses large and small, and it's probably one of the top two questions I get, that and the budget. How can you make sure that people can get to and from work on a timely basis? Because our transportation system is really slowing us down. And that's all over the state, and that's a priority. And yesterday I was at the Gold Star Bridge in Groton, New London, and that's a 70-year-old bridge. The concrete's falling off of it. You can't say we're going to deal with this later. I have to show how we deal with it now, how we put people to work, and how we pay for it.
It's an interesting discussion here in northeastern Connecticut, Governor, because we don't have that congestion up here that you're referencing. And on January 9th, when you talked about the 30-30-30 plan, it's hard for different parts of Connecticut to connect to that argument when it comes to transportation funding, because we are so far away from it. How are you balancing the transportation needs between the most heavily populated areas, your urban centers, and rural Connecticut, which has lots of roadway, lots of mileage, that is also in need of attention?
Well, remember, we're raising revenue to fix all of our roads and bridges. At the end of the day, I've got a transportation fund, and the money there is sort of fungible. I would also say, we're going to honor our commitment to education. And I'd also tell your towns in particular that I'm making a big effort on IT, which is Wi-Fi and 5G, higher speed internet, so that people in Putnam have the exact same internet capability and speed as they do in a major urban center. And I think, Dave, that's the future of work, and that's how our small towns really come back to life. So a young family, they can work there 3 days a week and do everything they want to online. Maybe they got to go to Boston or New Haven or New York once or twice a week to catch up in person. And I think that's going to be the future of work. And I got to make sure that Putnam and the surrounding towns are ready for that.
Our listeners have also been asking the question, why can't the state tighten its belt more on expenses and cut spending? How can you get in a little bit deeper with us beyond the budget address and talk to us a little bit about that? I know that one of your proposals surrounded the DMV and making adjustments there and technology as well. But our listeners have been concentrated on that, of there's a lot of waste in government. We should be looking at that first and saving money that way.
Yeah, I agree 100%. But this budget is tough. This budget is going to cut well over $100 million in health care costs. This budget cuts $600 million in bonding. This is some of the most significant streamlining or cuts our budget has ever seen. But I'm not stopping there. We've got a new head of administrative services. He wasn't a political guy. He came out of IBM. You want to know how we really save money in terms of IT, in terms of purchasing, in terms of contracting? He's going to take the lead on that. You know, over the next 5 years, we're going to move more and more to a digital government. That means all the things you got to wait in line for now, at DMV or otherwise, you're going to be able to do online. And not only is that convenient for our citizens, it saves the state of Connecticut a heck of a lot of money. I apologize, I can't do all that in this first one-year budget, but I've got to give people a sense that I understand that the taxes are heavy, the middle class is getting slammed, and I'm doing everything I can to reduce the scale and scope of our government costs.
The hospital tax debate has been one that's been ongoing here in northeastern Connecticut, as it how it could affect our small rural hospital, Day Kimball, here in Putnam. Where is the debate at from your office perspective on the hospital tax?
I can tell you that there wasn't a great relationship between the hospitals and the last administration. And at least we've got good, positive, constructive conversations with the hospitals. And they had a couple of issues. One was regarding the hospital tax. That's going to take some work. One was regarding some money that was being withheld due to some technical issues called the grouper, and we're trying to address that as well. And thirdly, in terms of Medicaid payments. So we are having constructive negotiations going forward. I know how important Day Kimball is to the community up there, and I got to do something that works for everybody, including our smaller hospitals.
The Medicare Savings Program was another topic that just a year ago this time, we were having a very heavy debate here in northeastern Connecticut with our seniors. And I know that there's been discussion about a new asset test for that. Is the Medicare Savings Program for our seniors here in northeastern Connecticut in good shape for them?
I think it is in good shape. What we proposed has nothing to do with what came out of the legislature last year, which I think really would have been punitive and taken some folks off health care. We have, like all of our neighboring states, we do have an asset test in terms of Medicare eligibility and what we pay for the Advantage program. And we'll see where that goes. But it does save us a fair amount of money when people talk about, savings in our state government. And I think it makes sure that the folks who can't afford it will still have all the health care they need.
Another topic that you and I have discussed when you've joined us here over the course of the campaign and now that you're in office is community college consolidation. And you know that QVCC is close to our hearts, Quinnipiac Valley Community College in Danielson. And while President Ojakian has said he has no plans to close QVCC, how is consolidation coming into your debate over just in general for the budget?
I think community colleges are going to be really key to our economic future and the economic future at UBCC of your region. And Mayflexer always reminds me that it's a small community college, but it has great private support in terms of the foundation, which is meaningful to me. And one of the things I'm trying to do is work with all the local businesses. for them to provide more support for our community college program. You know, for example, I announced that we got some of our major employers who are saying, I'm going to forgive your student loan if you graduate with a skill or a certificate in a need that we have, be it at Travelers or Pratt or some of the other businesses there. We're going to roll that out over a couple of months to give young people assurance that their education is affordable and there's a job waiting for them at the end of the day.
Governor, now that you're in office, and we talked about this a lot over the course of the election cycle, where people said, that's it, I'm moving out of Connecticut. All my friends have moved out of Connecticut. I don't want my taxes to go up. If taxes go up, I'm moving out. From candidate to now sitting in the governor's office, is there a difference in the way you're addressing that now that you're in that seat?
Well, it's real. I mean, I've got to balance the budget. Everybody else can, speak in platitudes or throw spitballs from the sidelines, but I've got to come up with an honestly balanced budget. And as the Fiscal Commission said, the number one thing for economic growth and prosperity and jobs and giving people an opportunity is to get our fiscal house in order. And so I put forward a budget which I think gives us the best chance to get this state growing again. But I've also got a very different attitude than what people are used to in the past. You know, I say, my door is open. If you got a better idea, let's talk about it. But I've got to get an honest budget going forward. And I have. I've held the line on tax rates, which is what I said. No increase in income tax, no increase in sales tax rates. Doing my best to show people that I take seriously, A, the promises we made and how costly, taxes can be for folks.
How about working with labor? Where are things at with working with labor as it relates to the budget?
We're having very good, constructive conversations. And I got to say, people blame state employees, which I think is really unfair. They entered into a contract 10, 20, 30 years ago. They've given up a fair amount, but over the last, 10 years, I appreciate that. But there's more to do because right now our pension and health care costs are going up much faster than our revenues, much faster than the economy is growing. And I got to make sure that the next generation of state employees know that there's going to be a pension for them as well. So we're sitting down. We're talking about, ongoing pension contributions. As I mentioned before, we're spending a lot of time on how we can reduce health care costs. And I think we're going to show some progress.
Are you hearing any pushback from local municipalities on sharing the pension costs for teachers?
Yep, I sure am. they say, what's with it, Connecticut? Why don't you pay all the pension costs? That was the deal we had, going back generations. And, I've said, look, the state did not do its share over the last generation. There is an enormous unfunded pension liability. That's my job. I'm governor, and I've got to fix that. But going forward, I would like the towns to contribute a little bit to their ongoing pension. I mean, towns, negotiate the salaries for teachers. Greenwich, Connecticut, the average teacher's salary is 30% more than the average. That means all of us are paying that surcharge, if you will, for the Greenwich teacher pension. So I've asked, some of these towns to share a little more in those costs going forward, and it brings down costs overall for the state.
Some of our local towns here in northeastern Connecticut have looked at the ECS calculator and said we're level funded in ECS or we're getting less, and now we might have to take on a portion of the pension funding, which is going to mean an automatic mill increase without anything else changing in the municipal budgets as they're being put together right now. And that's a challenge for them, and they're concerned about that. From the chief elected official down to the taxpayer.
What I can tell you is that some school districts are losing student population, and some are gaining student population. And the ECS formula is changing slowly over time to reflect that. And schools that are losing student population will be getting a little bit less over time, and those that are gaining will get more over time. Willimantic gets more. That is you know, something we're dealing with. We're phasing it in over a period of time so people can plan accordingly. I'm using incentives and urging people to find ways they can control costs by, you know, maybe sharing superintendents or personnel or back office in ways that would save the community money, and our ECS formula, you know, accommodates that.
We live in the land of steady habits, and losing a town's high school identity, their mascot or their slogan, as things get rolled in together in a more regional approach, is not something that people can easily embrace. But that's part of the plan, is it, to help save
money?
That's
partly part of the plan. I mean, first of all, we're talking about back office, like I said. And if we can buy health care, if we can buy staples, if we can buy things together, maybe you have your high school, but there's a shared superintendent and the such. I got to tell you, Dave, we spend more. We're about the only state in the country that spends more money outside the classroom than we do in the classroom. That's because we do have a lot of redundant teachers out there that cost us dough. And I hate to say it, but some of the high schools are very expensive. They're very small. I understand. Near where you are, there's often great distance between towns, so you got to take that into account. So it's a question of identity. It's also a question of making sure it's convenient for parents and kids to be able to get to the high school. So we'll take all that into account, but I'm doing everything I can to reduce the overall cost to the state.
Governor, I can't thank you enough for checking in with us. We look forward to doing this on a regular basis with you, and we welcome you here to the microphones whenever you're in the area.
Dave, I'd love to do it on a regular basis. Thank you. Good substantive interview. Appreciate it. Take care, everybody.
All right. Thank you, Governor. That's Governor Ned Lamont joining us on the line this morning with a quick check-in. We'll-